Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And when you heard Andrew Berry today, Andrew was in clear, we're drafting in 4 days, and I'm not going to say squat mode, which is good. I still wanted to hear everything he had to say. And I was really, you know, it was great to hear him say, Scott, good question. To the man who joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Scott, good job on the good question.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Did you get a T-shirt or anything for it?
Yeah, is there anything?
No, but it's not like it's the first time I've ever gotten a good question, guys. You know?
Oh, well.
I've been doing this a while. But it is nice to hear.
Andrew has that down. He's good at it. Yes. Well, you always ask good questions. I mean, come on. We know that. As opposed to
Thanks.
Us when we're talking to you. Before we get to what – well, let's get to what Andrew said today. Did you take anything out of that at all other than, hey, we're drafting on Thursday, and, yes, we could trade down, and, yes, we could draft at 10, and – yes, we like this guy, maybe, or maybe we don't. And yes, we like veterans, and maybe we don't. He was very, very just down the middle.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And that's how Andrew's been since he took over every time we've talked to him. I would say my biggest takeaway, and I'm still trying to figure out if it's legitimate or not, is he and Paul DePodesta last week were so adamant about not being pigeonholed, is the word Andrew used today, meaning they're not going to chase needs, and they're going to take the best players, and if it's not all about 2020, you're trying to get the best players for the long term. And I understand and respect that philosophy. I just think it's a little bit unrealistic. If you have a huge need at left tackle, which they do, you have a huge need at linebacker, huge need at safety, this is the easiest way to address those needs. And I think there's no – and I've talked to enough NFL GMs and scouts along the way that influences your draft board tremendously. You know, I mean, if the Browns rank their players, and let's just say they had Tua at number 5 and he happened to be there at number 10, they're not taking Tua, right? And I think you can say the same thing for a center at number 41, just because they have J.C. Treader and they paid him a big money extension a year ago. So I just think there's realities that shape how you approach a draft, and that kind of influences whether or not you're pigeonholed or not.
All right, how about the reality that they treat every draft like they're an expansion team?
Yeah, I struggled with that one a little bit too. I think that was an answer to one of my questions. I mean, I get the philosophy, and I'm all for these – general philosophies and the way you need to conduct your business. But if the odds of you drafting a left tackle at number 10 are higher than any other position, whether it's need and or there's a bunch of left tackles or tackles worthy of the number 10 pick, then how do you not spend more time on those guys? To me, it just makes sense. Like when the Browns had the number 1 pick in the draft and we're considering quarterbacks, you spend an awful lot of time on quarterbacks. So I'm not saying you spend less time anywhere else and you still do your due diligence and you don't forget about, you know, you don't forget about running back just because you have a couple running backs. But I think it's only natural and only makes sense for them to have spent the most time on left tackle versus every other position.
Well, Scott, combined need with the 10th pick, you don't want to screw it up. So I would think you're absolutely right, despite what he might have said.
Yeah, I think you just have to, you know, be real about it. And I know Andrew's not, he's trying not to tip his hand, and I get it. And you want to, and I understand wanting to think broadly. And if, you know, if a specific player happened to fall to the spot they were at, you have to be open-minded enough to consider that. Let's say they trade down to 20. I'm just throwing it out there. And the number one receiver on their board fell to number 20. Like, to me, that's the kind of scenario that Andrew Berry's talking about. But I think there's some that you can just eliminate off the top because the Browns are stacked at this position. I don't think there's any circumstance where they take a running back in the first four rounds. It just doesn't make any sense. But I appreciate what he means. I appreciate the effort. And to me, it's all going to come down to, do they sit at number 10 and take a left tackle, or do they trade down and then probably still take a left tackle, but at least that opens up the spectrum a little bit.
And so Scott, how much of
– go ahead, Andy.
Go.
Nope,
after I was just saying, how much does a wide receiver run maybe perhaps after 9 or 10 make a difference on if the Browns trade back or not, if there's a wide receiver run?
Yeah, it's interesting. To me, there's three positions you really have to pay attention to at the top of the draft, and it's quarterbacks. You know, I still think three are going to go in the top 10. But what if Tua or Hebert falls, right? Justin Herbert. Then you got to – then that means one more left tackle could go before the Browns pick. And then you're looking at left tackles, and then you're looking at receivers. And I think how that plays out at the top will affect the Browns, whether or not – who they take at number 10, or whether they try to slide back. And I think it could work either way. Let's say there's only one left tackle taken, or one tackle taken, before number 10. Maybe Andrew Berry then feels comfortable sliding back to 15 or 16 and saying, you know what, I can still get one of the top four guys. Or conversely, what if three of the tackles go before number 10? Then Berry says, you know what, I don't love the fourth guy, and I can still get Austin Jackson or Josh Jones or Ezra Cleveland at number 20, so then I feel more comfortable moving back. I think it could play out a number of different ways.
Scott, that goes into, and Scott Petrak's joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. That goes into what you asked him about spending more time on left tackles, because if a scenario presents itself where somebody just blows him away with a trade offer, and even if there's somebody there, one of the top four left tackles, supposedly, at 10, but they get blown away, well, you better know the other left tackles in this draft, which goes back to your point and goes to a story that you wrote today on the It guy right now for everybody talking about a trade down in Ezra Cleveland. Why did this guy suddenly get so hot when a lot of folks have him ranked as like the 8th or 9th best left tackle prospect in this draft, behind Jones and Austin Jackson of USC and some of the other guys?
Yeah, that's interesting because you know, not that I'm Mr. Offensive Tackle Scout, but I have watched a decent amount on these guys, and I'm not sure there's anything that separate, at least in my mind, that separated Cleveland from a Josh Jones or an Austin Jackson. But I think the reason he's become an it guy for the Browns is, number one, Dane Brugler from The Athletic, you know, talked about how he knows the Browns are interested, and there's evidence to support that. Cleveland met with the Browns at the Combine. I know that the Browns have contacted him since then. I talked to his offensive line coach. The Browns contacted him. So whether that's due diligence or they really like this guy, you can connect some dots there.
Yep.
Number two, he's a really athletic guy. He put up, he ran under 5 seconds at the combine for the 40. He bench pressed 225 pounds 30 times, which some people knock his strength, and I think that's one indicator that he has some more power than people might see on film. Although that doesn't, you know, it doesn't talk to your lower body necessarily. And he's really, not only is he athletic, but he has really good feet. So when you watch him pass protect, he mirrors guys and he moves well. Not a perfect prospect. Has questions about his ability in the run game, especially from a power strength perspective. Might be a year away, but I think there's enough upside that teams can look at him and say, maybe we can get buy with him as a rookie, and there'll be growing pains. Maybe you sit him for a year, and then in 2021, he's, you know, ready to step in and be a big-time left tackle. So I think there's a lot of potential, and he's just one of the guys that you can connect with the Browns, along with those other guys we mentioned. But he is kind of a guy that's seemingly gaining steam, especially in connection with the Browns.
If the draft was tonight, what do you think they'd do? If they had to sit at 10, who is it?
If they had to sit at 10?
Yeah.
I think they would take a left tackle for sure. If I were going to rank which ones I thought, the Browns had their left tackles in, I would probably go Andrew Thomas, Becton, Wills, Worse would be the four, I would think. Becton is such a wild card because he looks so different than these other guys. He's so powerful. He's so big. He can also move. To me, I can't get past that. He would be my number one guy. I'm just not convinced he's the Browns' number one guy. And that's even before the report of the flag drug test.
Scott Petrak's joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. Dan Shonka from Our Lads was on the show earlier today, Scott. And I asked Dan, I'll ask you, is there anybody at 10, other than maybe Isaiah Simmons, who would make you think, yeah, this guy's worth for our team not taking a left tackle?
Yeah, I don't think there is. And Simmons is an interesting case, right? We've talked about him before. He seems to be the one guy that jumps out at me and say maybe he's a can't-miss guy. You just can't pass him. So I could see that scenario that if he falls to 10, you take him, you keep an open mind, you take him, and then you figure out another way to go get a left tackle, whether it's trading up for 41 or that in combination with signing somebody or trading for Trent Williams. We all know those options. But outside of Simmons, I guess you can make an argument if Jeff Okuda fell that far, which I don't think he will, but if he did, or even C.J. Henderson, the top two corners. But I can't see taking a cornerback that high when you took Denzel Ward at number four and Greedy Williams last year with your first pick in the draft. And I don't think there's another guy there. I don't think there's a receiver we're talking about for the Browns. I don't think Derrick Brown, the D tackle from Auburn, I know people love him. I just can't see spending a top 10 pick when it's not a position of need. So for me, really, it's Simmons and then left tackle and then trade down.
I'm just ready for this night to get there. aren't you just ready for the draft now? I'm like, I wish I could just do this tonight. I wish we could get going.
That's how it is every year. There's so much buildup. I spent so much time working on it and researching it that you really do want it to get here. And then, I'm extremely curious to see how it all plays out technologically, how the TV show part of it works, how us talking to Andrew Berry and Stefanski and the draft picks, how that works when we're all spread out across the area. I really am interested, but I do have some work to do before Thursday. The Isaiah Simmons feature, I talked to his defensive coordinator over the weekend. I still have to finish my last mock draft, so I'm okay with it not being until Thursday.
Do they absolutely load up after the first round on defensive players?
Yeah, I think you have to. Now, I will say this. I would take a receiver at some point, and I would start thinking about that in the third round, probably with that second third-round pick, just because I don't think if the draft is this deep in receivers, like everybody says it, I just don't think you can not take one and kind of jump on that opportunity, even though it's not a huge need. We know that they need a third receiver. We don't expect a third receiver to have a huge role within the two tight ends and the fullback, and you have two running backs. But I would still take a receiver. And you could say, okay, maybe another tight end at some point. But the needs on defense, like you alluded to, Jeff, we know they need at least one linebacker. They need a safety. They probably need depth at corner. You always need depth at defensive end, depth at defensive tackle. So, I could see a left tackle and then whatever, five of your last six picks on defense wouldn't be shocking at all.
Scott Petrak, thank you very much. I agree with your thought on wide receiver, but there's somebody that we think would be a great, great guy to bring in. We're going to talk about it at 1:40. But look at your phone because I'm going to text it to you next just so you can get to work on it.
Oh, wow. Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Oh, I know where we're going. Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, see you.
Scott Petrak joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.